Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
What if each one of us were thinking about eternity instead of thinking about lunch? If we were thinking about where we're going to spend the remainder of our existence rather than thinking about this week's activities. I know that statistics say that I have about 30 seconds to 1 minute to capture your attention. To make you think that there's something that I'm going to say today that's going to have some impact on your life to the point where you say, I need to listen to what is going to be presented. For just a few minutes, I would like for you to take some time with me for us to study with the Macedonians. Those great congregations of Philippi, Berea, and Thessalonica. Those three congregations represent some great people. And they represent some people who were well prepared for their eternal home. Let me begin with discussion of some things by way of introduction. The Lord's church struggles today in many areas. I don't have the time to enumerate all of them, but let me for just a moment to try to introduce the subject for you. We have an identity crisis. And what I mean by that is there are many of us who are second, third, maybe fourth or fifth generation Christians. My parents were Christians. My father's parents were Christians. His parents were Christians. Going back to my great-great-grandmother. Many of you who are sitting here this morning were taught from the time you were a little child what it means to be a Christian. But for some, it may not be your faith. It may be your parents' faith, your grandparents' faith. And there are a lot of congregations that are going through a struggle, through an identity crisis. Who are we? Are we just another church among many churches? Are we a denomination like the denominations are? That is something that many of us are struggling with. I don't think we're all struggling with that, but many are. Going along with that is a mission crisis. What are we supposed to be doing? We gather here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And we are here and we sing songs and we pray, we study, and on Sundays we partake of the Lord's Supper and give. But what are we supposed to be doing Monday through Saturday? What are we supposed to be doing in our daily lives? How does this impact who we are and what we are? What's our mission? Brother Leonard led the song, Send the Light. There's a Macedonian call today. Folks, what's it really all about? The church needs direction. The church needs focus. We need to have our goals, our aspirations, our desires that are focused in the right direction. And the only place you and I can find where it is supposed to be is God's direction book called the Bible. The churches of Macedonia were heavenly focused. They had their minds in the right direction. If you'll give me just a few minutes, I want to point out to you that there are 9 sections in the book of Philippians and 1st and 2nd Thessalonians that deal with eternity. My first thought was to take each of these 9 passages in order and look at them in that direction. After going back and reading them through several times, I see that these passages fall into some categories. In fact, we're going to look at 3 major categories of them. But yet we're going to look at all 9 passages. Because we need the right focus. In order to introduce this properly, I want to carry to a passage in the book of Colossians. And if you will, I want you to use your Bible. I'm going to have it on the screen, but it's valuable for you to see it in your Bible. Chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And as you turn to this passage, this was written to the church at Colossae. This is a church that, like Philippians, was written while Paul was in that Roman prison. And I believe they needed the message perhaps more than the Philippians and the Thessalonians did, because Paul made it very clear to the Colossians. He said, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden in Christ," or with Christ in God, "when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory." Set your mind on the things above. Focus your thoughts on heavenly things. The church here at Bobby Branch needs to have our minds focused on heaven, on the hereafter. When David wrote the book of Psalms, particularly that great chapter, 119, you come to verse 37, and David puts it very briefly, but very much to the point. He says, "Turn my eyes away from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way." You know what a problem I have, and I think we all have, is I'm going through this life and I start looking at things over here, and I start looking, and we're driving down the road of life. And we're noticing the scenery on this side and the scenery on that side. And we have, for many times, lost our way and lost our focus. He says, "I don't need to be looking at the worthless things. I need to be revived. I need to be back in your way." So what we're going to do this morning is to look at, number one, the desire for the heavenly things. Number two, we want to look at the details, because they're important. And then finally, the destinations that we can be able to arrive at when we finish. The desire. God does not want us to be uninformed, or I could use the word ignorant, about eternity. God doesn't want us to guess what might take place. And it is for that reason that when you and I go to the Bible, there is sufficient information. And correct information should be both encouraging and comforting. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 23, listen to Paul. Here's what he's going to say. "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." Paul says, "I really don't know what I ought to choose." He says, "If I stay in this life, I think I can do some good." And he would do some good. But he said, "If I depart from this life and I go to be with Christ, that's better." I don't think we always see it that way. Do you want to leave this world today? I don't think most of us do. We feel like there's a lot of things we have left undone. People we feel like we need to influence. Things we feel like we need to do. That's exactly what verse 22 was about. But in Paul's mind, if I do, it's a hard choice, because I know if I go on to be with Christ, that's far better. If you don't see that it's far better, there's two possibilities in your life. Number one, you're not ready. And you know you're not ready. Or number two, you don't know about eternity and how great it is. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, Paul would write, "We are confident, yes, and well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. If I've got my choice, what would I rather do? I'd rather be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Does that mean that somehow we have this morbid desire to die? No. But it does mean that we want to be with the Lord. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, Peter had explained what would happen when this life is over, that it would come as a thief in the night. And then he went on to explain that what will happen to this earth is that the earth and the works in it will be burned up. And so he comes to this conclusion in verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conduct and godliness? Now look at the very first part of verse 12. Looking for and hastening the coming. In other words, it's something that you want. Something that you're looking for. The desire that is there. And then the passage that Brother Jared read just a few moments ago. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who've fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. I'm reading the American Standard. I'm not looking down. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall in no or will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will always be with the Lord. Verse 18, therefore comfort one another with these words. If I understand eternity properly, I should have the desire to want to go. That ought to help keep me focused. Ought to help me understand. Now, second of all, I need to spend a little bit of time with the details. Because these events should be well understood. You see, our problem sometimes is, as Paul would say in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. He didn't want us to somehow struggle with lack of information and the details. And so if you will permit me, I'm going to use some of these passages here. And as you go through Philippians and 1 and 2 Thessalonians, there are some great passages here. Paul begins in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. And they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that the day should overtake you as a thief. I want you to notice the point that I tried to make is that the Thessalonians, and as well as the Philippians, and I presume the Bereans, these Macedonian congregations were well taught and well understood eternity. He said, concerning the times and the seasons, you have no need that I write unto you. Brethren, we need to be well taught. And we need to well understand what eternity is all about. There are some people that as the trumpet sounds, and the Bible says there will be a trumpet sound, there will be a shout and the voice of the archangel. What if that were to happen right now? Would you know what's happening? There will be some people who will hear that trumpet and will hear that shout and say, what's going on? There's some people are not prepared for that judgment day. And he says, but this day shouldn't overtake you as a thief. You ought to know about it. As you go further in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Paul would write there, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to Him, we ask you not to soon be shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come." Sometime between the writing of 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, there have been some troublemakers who had arrived in Thessalonica. They had evidently attributed some of the things they were saying to Paul. Now, Paul says, as if from us. Not from us, as if from us. And he says, I don't want you to be shaken. I don't want you to be troubled. I don't want you to doubt about the Lord's coming. And notice the latter part there, verse 2. As though the day of Christ had come. You mean it came and we missed it? There are even people today who believe the Lord came in AD 70. And we all missed it. We just missed it. There are some details that are found here. Our gathering together to Him, you don't worry. If you're a faithful Christian, when the Lord comes again, when the trumpet sounds and the shout of the archangel takes place, those of us who are Christians will be gathered together with Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you at the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at His coming?" I don't think there's a preacher anywhere who is loyal and dedicated to the Lord who does not, when he walks in the pulpit, want one great thing. I sat on the front pew here just a few moments ago trying to think about what I needed to say and how I needed to say it. Because I stand under the awesome judgment of God about what I say and how I say it. And if I try to persuade you how important your soul is, what will be our joy? What will be our hope? What will be the crown? To be able to stand before the Lord on the day of judgment and to be able to look at your faces. Yes, your faces. And see you people standing at the right hand of the throne of God. If that thought doesn't sink in, let it sink in just a moment. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and verses 18 through 21, Paul will write, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings be conformed to His death." I want you to notice, Paul says, I want to know the power of the resurrection. And you drop down to verses 18 through 21. He says, "For many walk of whom I have told you often, and even now tell you weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body in that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able to subdue all things to Himself." I want you to let me pull out some points out of this, if you will. Look carefully at those people who are the enemies of our Lord, whose end is destruction. That's where they're going to end up at. The last part of verse 19 says, "who set their mind on earthly things." The reason why I began our lesson with Colossians 3, 1 through 4 was because he says, "set your mind on the things above." Those who are worldly, whose minds are thinking about only earthly things, he said, they're enemies of the cross of Christ. 20 and 21 are really the main part of why I use this verse. He talks about our body, our physical body. And he describes it as a lowly body, humble, not of great value. That it may be conformed to his glorious body. You remember what I noticed earlier back there in verse 10? How that he describes here this desire to know the power of his resurrection? I want you to each look at yourself physically. Think about who you are. Think about your aches. Think about your pains. Think about your physical limitations. Once you were probably in your 20s, you thought there could be nothing ever wear you down. You had strength. You had ability. You pass through your 30s and things start wearing out. Go through your 40s and they start falling off. Or in my case, you start picking things up you don't want. You go through your 50s, your 60s, and then by the time you get to be an older person, and you know older is always 15 years older than you are, by the time you get to you realize you've wore this body out. But do you realize about the eternal body? Paul would address this in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. I want to tie that to what Paul had said to those Thessalonians and those Philippians. And that is, there's going to be a transformation take place. Our physical bodies that are flesh and blood now, the skin that we have, the blood we have, the flesh that we have, the corruptible part of man will be changed. And so Paul would go on to say, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not vain in the Lord. Quickly, the church must be aware of the two destinations and make proper preparation for them. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10, Paul would write, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Delivers us from the wrath to come. Do you know what awaits the end of this life? Wrath. There's a place called hell. And Jesus is going to take all of those who are His and deliver them from that great wrath. Now, we all deserved it because all of us have sinned. But because we have been obedient and believing in our Lord, He's going to save us. But as I go further to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, I begin to understand the seriousness of it. He says in beginning with verse 6, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay tribulation to those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance. Now pause with me for just a second. Taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. For just a moment, those of you who are in the audience who are not Christians, I would not be your friend. I would not be fair to you if I did not warn you what this passage says. This passage is so clear, you can't mistake it. And what it says in verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel. That ought to take on some real serious thought in your mind when in just a few moments we sing the song, "There's a Fountain Free." Because you can then obey the gospel and you don't have to suffer that eternal vengeance. These will be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. When He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints, to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Brother Ricky Prince made reference to John 14, verses 1 through 6 in his prayer. Thought how appropriate when we're trying to focus our minds on eternity. And Jesus would say, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know." Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we do not know where You are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except through Me. I'm going to prepare a place. You want to go there? You've got to go through Jesus. No other way." As the people of God here at Body Branch, we must not allow our focus to be merely on the here and the now. Do I have to have food to eat? Yes. Do I have to have clothes to wear? Yes. Do I have to have a place to live? Yes. But that can't be my focus, and it can't be this congregation's focus. There was a song that was sung many years ago, became very popular, "Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow." That song has been used to emphasize, "Don't stop thinking about tomorrow here." But I want you to not stop thinking about tomorrow eternally. Where will your tomorrow end? Practically every day I look on the websites of the funeral homes in McMinnville to see if there's someone related to this congregation who might have passed away. One thing that is becoming more and more apparent to me is that as I look from day to day, I start seeing people who are my age and even younger, that their names are listed there in those obituaries. And occasionally I see the names of those who are in their 20s, who are in their 30s, who've met some tragic accident or some dreaded disease has taken their lives. If the Lord's sound of the trumpet were to occur right now, and you think about eternity, there's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. If you need to respond to the Lord by becoming a Christian,